Blog Talk Radio.
I was meant to fly. Oh, oh, oh. I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
Oh.
Living off what people say and giving all the power to the things that were only gonna bring me to my knees. I saw people turn their backs and leave me. And on that very day, I started believing that in the mirror was the only friend that I would ever need.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show on HYH Radio, and I am your host, Yvonne Pierre. Today's topic is Understanding Invisible Disabilities. Chronic Care in America reported that nearly one in two Americans have a chronic condition of one or another. Of one kind or another, 96% of them live with an illness that is invisible, and 60% are between the ages of 16 and 64. Based on those statistics, nearly 133 million Americans have some form of an invisible disability. Today, my guest, Mr. Wayne Connell, he is the founder and president of the Invisible Disabilities Advocate. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
Well, it is early. It's morning.
And thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here. You married your wife, Sherry. And am I pronouncing her name right?
Yeah,
Sherry?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
In 1994, would you please share with the listeners some of Sherry's life's journey?
My wife Sherry was quite a vibrant young lady when she was a kid. She used to be one of those kids that you see dancing and singing in all the little home movies. She was a cheerleader, did a lot of great things when she was just very active in school growing up. And in her teen years, she started to notice once in a while that she would get very sick. But, you know, as most kids are, they still keep going when they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got into, a little bit later, and got into college, she did musical theater. She was just, you know, one of these active, very active people, just a joy for life. She used to ride horses. I mean, I've seen photos of her, you know, standing on the back of the horse, you know, just an amazing person as a kid. When she was always getting sick. She couldn't figure it out. Well, in 1991, she actually, both of her legs went numb. And she went paralyzed. And she went to the hospital. They spent a bunch of time and a bunch of tests, and they determined she had what's called primary progressive multiple sclerosis, which means that that's an MS where you don't have any good days ever. It's just continual. Well, I met her a little bit after that, but she was then diagnosed later also with Lyme disease. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a background of who she is and where she came from somebody who's very active to being chronically ill.
What are chronic illnesses, and how have they impacted Americans?
Well, really, a chronic illness or a chronic condition, what it is, it's an illness that lasts more than a year. Okay, it's not something that we would call an acute illness, where, you know, you get the flu and you're over it in a few days or a few weeks. You know, that would be a what they call an acute illness. But a chronic illness, you know, as you noted before, 133 million Americans have at least one. And that's a statistic from 2005. And it's continuing to grow. They determined that by 2030, it'll be over, you know, close to 50% of Americans will have at least one chronic illness. And it's just a continually growing problem. Now, what I don't really want to do is focus on any specific illness, but there's a bunch of different similarities between chronic illnesses. Well, the number one, by the way, chronic illness is hypertension or high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we all know, that's not necessarily any kind of a debilitating illness. But that's the number one. But there's respiratory diseases, there's, you know, mental disorders, there's heart disease, there's diabetes, asthma. Those are all different types that we have heard, you know, as well as people can have multiple chronic illnesses. One in four Americans have more than one chronic illness. And, for example, with my wife, she has at least three that I know of, and maybe more. One of the sobering statistics for me is that children have multiple chronic conditions. One in 20 have more than one chronic illness. There's an ever-increasing rise. One of the interesting things that we found out is that there's actually a people group where the chronic illness rise is declining in, and that's the senior population. Even though they tend to have more chronic illnesses, they're taking better care of themselves than they ever did before.
Wow. Yeah, and I do notice I see a lot more elderly, like, walking and jogging. So, yeah, I can believe that.
Well, they actually did a study where how many bags of groceries they could carry. And 20 years ago, they could only carry one, and now they can carry two at the same age.
Mm.
So, you know, we are younger at an older age today as well. Somebody who was 60 before would be equal to somebody who's in their 80s now. So there is a change in that as well that's helped.
Mm. Did you find out that Sherry had an illness, a chronic illness, before or after you got married?
Well, I met her at my store. I was managing a store at a time, and she had come into the store, and I had no idea when I met her. And I found out she went to a singles group at a local church, and so I went and visited there, and everybody went out afterwards to a restaurant, and this was really the first time I got to meet her, and everybody's sitting around the tables. And she kind of made the decision that, you know, many guys she talked to, she was just going to lay it on the line. She just said, you know, here's what's going on in my life. You know, I've got MS. She kind of determined that no need to hide it. And if, you know, because she had had guys that were interested in her that had found out and they didn't want anything to do with her after it. So yes, I did know. In fact, that was right when I even met her, way before we even decided to get married.
That says a lot about you as a person. And I wanted to, let me go ahead and ask about how was your organization, the Invisible Disabilities Advocates, started?
Well, I want to jump back just one sec here, and I'm going to answer that question, but people do ask me, you know, can't believe you married her knowing that. And what I tell, especially the guys, I tell them, well, if you would have met her, you would have married her too. So, I mean, I didn't marry her MS or her Lyme disease. I married her.
Right.
She is. And just an amazing lady. So how do we get started with the organization? Well, because she is an amazing lady, friends and family were always asking her about her illness. And, you know, it's you explain and explain. So she's a great writer, and although it's so difficult to do nowadays, she wrote a little brochure, about it, and I'm kind of a techie guy. I, you know, love the internet and been involved in technology all my life. And I said, well, why don't we put this up on the internet? This was in 1997, you know, kind of when the internet was really just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it up on the internet because we wanted to basically just have friends and family say, hey, go look at this. That way we didn't have to mail them a pamphlet. Well, next thing you know, with it, you know, this is one of the joys of the internet, other people started coming to it and started finding the pamphlet. So we started adding more stuff. And it just grew and grew and grew to the point now we have about 15,000 people or more a month that come to the website.
So you took from educating instead of answering the questions, you know, from friends and family all the time and her putting it on the internet. So because based on the response, is that what you saw that it was a need, a great need?
Absolutely, and that's why, in 2004, we actually incorporated it as a 501c3 because we found that people would write us and say, you put into words what we were trying to say. And the reason why is because these words were from my wife's journals and things that she had said to me. They were real things that these same people were dealing with.
So what type of response did you get from once you launched?
Well, like I said, it was just we were just amazed. We, you know, we didn't know if anybody would find the website. You know, we were able to finally get a good domain name. You know, that's kind of a big thing. You got to have something people remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then because we've been around so long that there's organizations all over the world that link to our site. People that if their own little support groups or people would write an email to so-and-so and they'd pass it out to all their friends and they would put a link to the site because they found out about it. So it's just kind of grown, just kind of like the internet, just so that people, they would share with each other, which is what was amazing. You know, we didn't advertise. We didn't, you know, put Google rankings or anything like that. It just happened because one person would share it with another person who would share it with another person, and it just grew.
Wow. What is an invisible disability, and what kinds of conditions may result in an invisible disability?
Well, you know, we often think of the term disability, you know, we assume that people use some type of assistive device. You know, we see somebody maybe in a wheelchair or using a walker or using a cane or something. So that's... And, of course, the universal symbol is a wheelchair, too. So sometimes we look at that and we say, oh, you know, that person's disabled or they have a disability. Because
mm-hmm.
disabled, just because you have a disability doesn't mean you're disabled. I mean,
right.
A lot of people do a lot of things with a disability and they're able, you know, they overcome it. It's just amazing what they do.
Right.
But 80% of the people that have disabilities don't use any kind of assistive device. So you wouldn't know by looking at them. If you looked at my wife, she looks as beautiful as ever. You would have no idea that every day feels like she feels like she's got the flu so bad she can't get out of bed. I mean, that's her best days. And there are millions of people that are like that, but people just don't recognize it. So it really refers to their symptoms. A lot of it's caused from chronic illnesses and chronic pain. You know, it can be extreme fatigue and dizziness and weakness and mental impairments, things that you can't see. And, of course, it can be caused by, you know, birth disorders and injury. I mean, they're just not obvious to people. What's interesting is we want to make sure that, you know, sometimes somebody with a visible impairment, we presume, you know, we look at them and say, you know, you can't compete in this because you're in a wheelchair or you can't do this activity because you use a cane, when in reality is a lot of times they're able to do things with, you know, with assistive devices. They're able to go skiing or you know, work, things like that.
True.
And we don't want to assume that they're not able to, right? We don't want to tell them, hey, we don't think you can. When we don't want to make assumptions. The opposite is true in a sense with somebody with an invisible disability. We want to make sure that we don't make the assumption that they can do things. We also don't want to make the assumption if somebody's in a wheelchair that they don't have both, right? They
right.
don't have chronic pain, you know. So the key here really is that it's not to us to judge if they can or can't do something. We just need to ask them.
Right. Tell us a little bit about the mission and purpose of your organization.
Well, most of us, you know, can't comprehend being sick for multiple weeks. I mean, I know I've had bronchial pneumonia in 2.5 weeks I missed of work. It was quite a few years back. And it was just horrible, you know. We always think that people that are sick are sitting around home, you know, watching Oprah and eating bonbons and things like that. Well, it's not fun being home and being sick. So what IDA wants to do is we want to help educate people and loved ones to understand that their loved one who's sick, they're not just complaining or, you know, they can't just snap out of it, you know, just jump up and greet the day. When it's a different type of illness, when it's chronic and it continues and they look sick, they don't look sick, but they are. So what we try to do is we want to, the purpose of IDA is to really educate. We want to educate friends and family members and support groups and coworkers, anybody that we can, so that they appreciate the challenges and difficulties that somebody with, you know, a chronic illness or an injury is dealing with, that they really understand that. And so we do that through, we've got articles and support groups, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Okay. Why is it important that people understand the seriousness of their loved one, a coworker or friend, having an invisible disability?
Well, just to give you an example, I had a friend of mine whose mother took care of a lady who used to be, she was a marathon runner, and she became chronically ill. She could barely get out of bed. She had to have somebody take care of her. Now, her husband thought she was lazy and left her. In fact, the divorce rate's 80% if the wife becomes chronically ill. You know, that is one of the main reasons why we're out there, is to help families be whole and stay together.
Right.
But the seriousness, by family members understanding, they can help in the situation, and we'll talk a little bit later about how they can help. But they can help by believing the person who has the chronic illness. It's important because we don't want the person who's chronically ill, as we have noticed by the statistics, 50% of Americans have at least one chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to understand that, one, they're not alone. They're not the only one there with it. There's millions of other people that are going through the same situation that are struggling with it. And we want family members to understand that the person who's sick, they didn't bring it upon themselves. You know, my wife didn't ask to be sick. You know,
right.
Did she do things that could have helped, that could have contributed to it? Maybe. You know, when she did her modeling, she was anorexic for a while. That obviously would have contributed to some of it. But there's things that most of these people, they can't, you know, they didn't do anything. They didn't ask for it. They didn't say, I want to be sick. I mean, nobody wants to be sick because nobody wants to go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, what's funny is there's always that myth out there that, well, there are, everybody's just a hypochondriac. Well, let me tell you, these people don't want to go to the doctors.
Right.
Because sometimes the doctors don't believe them either.
Yeah. And what grabbed my attention about, too, that people that have invisible disabilities want people aware of, you know, for various reasons. The reason why it grabbed my attention is because there's a lot of people that have visible disabilities that wish people wouldn't prejudge them. And I guess my question is, if someone has an invisible disability, why is there possibly a fear of being misjudged?
Well, absolutely. In fact, not only is there a possibility, it happens all the time. That's the whole issue of where people assume that they're lazy. They assume that they're not, quote, being positive enough. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's one thing if you're in an automobile wreck and you lose the loss of your legs, but you're through physical therapy able to regain it. And people say, you know, they encourage you, come on, you can do it, and things, and so they're able to overcome that and walk again. It's just amazing. Well,
right.
The positive attitude for somebody who's chronically ill is they got out of bed for the day. Because
right.
If you feel so bad, you have the flu, you can't get out of bed, right? I don't get out of bed. But what's amazing is people all across America and the world who have these chronic illnesses, what just blows me away, Yvonne, is that they get out of bed. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how they do it. I have no idea. I'll tell you what, my wife's pain tolerance is unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
The pain she's in, I would be passed out on the floor whimpering, you know. So and you're right, prejudging. People are newly diagnosed with illnesses. They don't want to tell anybody
mm-hmm.
because they're you know, they don't want to be labeled. But what IDA tries to do is the Invisible Disability Advocate. We want people to understand that you're not alone and let people know it's okay to do that because then people will have a better chance of believing and understanding.
Your website, which is invisibledisabilities.org, and let me spell that, INVISIBLE, disabilities, DISABILITIES.org, and that's www.invisibledisabilities.org. I want to say that again. Your website has a host of resources available. Could you share with the listeners and myself what types of information you provide?
Well, the first thing is it's a connecting place is what I want to say about the website. We've got helpful articles written by all kinds of different people to help aid in understanding, you know, these questions that people ask. Well, how do I explain to my, you know, my friend or my family member, because they're not getting it? How do I explain to them? So we've got articles on there. We've got an unbelievable set of web links. I mean, we've got links to every kind of different, you know, anything you can imagine when it comes to support groups or you know, government entities that can help you, you know, everything. We just got this, it's just a major amount of web links. We've got an amazing online support group. We recently launched about 6 weeks ago a new social network, and everybody knows what social networks are nowadays. It's like the MySpace. Well, this is IDA's own MySpace in a sense.
Wow.
My Invisible Disabilities Community. And we've got over 400 people that are on this in the last 6 weeks. And it's a great place for people to come and meet each other. And it's the link's available on the left-hand side of our website. There's all kinds of different an index there, and that's one of the places that you can go.
Give that community website again.
Well, you can just go right to Invisible Disabilities.
Okay.
You can go to invisibledisabilities.org and go to the left-hand column and go down. And you'll see it says, in fact, I've got it right here, and it says the online support group is
okay.
What it's called. And you can... Then you can find all kinds. Oh, it's just a great place to go. And like I said, it's growing leaps and bounds, and people are finding commonalities and helping each other. That's one of the great parts is when you find out you're not the only person. I mean, there are some chronic illnesses that may only affect 15 people in the nation, and we find that other people find each other on there, and they're not alone. And, you know, how do you handle what I'm going through, that type of thing. So that's just a huge part of our organization. We offer our booklet, But You'll Look Good. But You'll Look Good, we've sent over 10,000 copies of it worldwide. It's an amazing little 52-page booklet. We've had more husbands have this booklet end up on their pillows for a month till they read it, and we've got emails from husbands and wives, and the husbands were on their knees asking their wives for forgiveness.
Wow.
Because they just didn't understand. We've had mothers who their adult daughters... they get it now. They read the book. They went over and they, for the first time, developed a great relationship with their daughter to help them and understand better what they're going through. Then we have pamphlets, and we have the pamphlets available as well as the booklet. And we've got, I'll just go through these real quick. We've got a pamphlet about IDA, so it's about Invisible Disabilities Advocate. We've got one called But They Look Good, But They Look So Good. It's kind of a little excerpt from the book, and it's got a lot of people get those. We've got Don't Judge by Appearances. This happens to do with handicap parking, right? Because people with invisible disabilities, a lot of people give us dirty looks.
Yeah.
Because, we get so that's a great little pamphlet. There's the Why Don't You Just Take Something? This is when friends and family are always coming up with the latest cure for everything. And maybe it does help some people, but everybody with a chronic illness has different symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
People with fibromyalgia, you can line up 100 people with fibromyalgia, and every one of them has a little bit different symptoms. And so we don't want to just make assumptions that if you just take Tylenol or ibuprofen or something along those lines, it'll all go away. Looks Can Be Deceiving, which really talks about the invisible disabilities. We've got a new one called What Makes an Animal More Than Just a Pet? There's all kinds of different animals, service dogs and service ponies, that help people with invisible disabilities. Dogs that can recognize somebody before they have a seizure. They have dogs that'll notice it before they have a seizure, which is just amazing. Or
yeah.
Somebody's going into diabetic shock. They have animals that can tell that their blood sugar's low. And then one of the other pamphlets we have is a pamphlet called That Stinks. And it talks about multiple chemical sensitivity, which we'll talk a little bit about more later. And so those are just some of the pamphlets available. We've got a great book by one of our advisory board members called Being Sick Well, Joyful Living Despite Chronic Illness. It's a great book, just all kinds of full of stories and ways that you can learn about how to be joyful, which is tough, despite chronic illness. And then I guess the last thing we offer is we have what we call IDA stuff. It's IDA stuff, and what it is T-shirts and mugs and bumper stickers, all kinds of things that are available to help get the word across. T-shirts, things like I do all my own stunts, or my disability may be invisible to some, or I can't bear this alone. I mean, one of my favorite bumper stickers we have is you can have my parking spot, but take my disability with it. I mean, bumper stickers and clocks, and, any way we can help people get the word out and get it across. So the website's just a huge resource available for people.
I know you've mentioned this throughout the interview, but I really would like you to express the importance again on why this information is important to get to their friends, family, and even their employers.
Well, I share with you about the books and how the books have really impacted people. I've had people order 25 of the books and give it to all their friends and family just to help them understand, because it really is a simple book designed to do that. Our pamphlets, we've had people, I knew of a lady that she was laid off from her job because of her chronic illness, because her employer and the workers with her, they didn't understand that what she was dealing with. They, basically didn't believe her because they couldn't see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the old, if we can't see it, we don't believe it. Well, she ordered some of our pamphlets and she sent them to her friends and family. She got flowers from her old job. They said, "We never understood. Thank you so much for educating us." And so it was a great way to get the word out, for her to understand and for them to understand and for it to go both ways. So it's all about education. Anytime, because I do seminars here in Colorado where I live, and people always come up and say, "Wow, it's so simple, but I understand it now." And that's what it is about. It's just education. It's not rocket science at all. It's just understanding. Once you understand or believe, then it helps. So that's why. It's a lonely world out there, and people with chronic illnesses a lot of times are abandoned by everybody. And we want to try to help people before that happens. And once that's happened, too, we want to be an encouragement for them as well.
I wanted before I go into the clean air, so getting this information to family and friends and coworkers or just spreading the awareness to pretty much everyone, because if it's one out of every two Americans affected, then pretty much everybody needs this information.
Yeah, it's helpful.
I wanted to go ahead and go into, if you could share with us a little bit about IDA's Clean Air Indoor, Cleaner Indoor Air Campaign.
Okay, what the Cleaner Indoor Air Campaign is one of the rising symptoms, and it's an illness in itself, it's called multiple chemical sensitivity. And what multiple chemical sensitivity is, it's people that are exposed to a low level of some type of a chemical or a petroleum product, and it affects, this is what's amazing to me, between 12.5% to 15% of the population. And it's a growing, it's rising in America. You know, most of us think of, you can get sick from, like, cigarette smoke or pollution or exhaust fumes, right? I mean, we know that everybody, those aren't good to be around, and especially things like paints and glues and stains, you know, all those things that definitely have big warnings and skull and crossbones on them, and don't smell these. Well, we never think of the fact that our perfumes and our colognes could have the same effect on people, and that's what they're doing. And one of the reasons why is they used to make perfumes and colognes with herbs and flowers, and, you know, if you wanted cinnamon, it was made with real cinnamon, or maybe it was made with rose oil from a rose. Now they're, in the 70s and 80s, they started making them all synthetic. So the fragrance is synthetic. And what this does is it makes people very sick. In fact, my wife, and it's a progressive disease, we can't be around any laundry detergents, anything, and when I come home from work now, I have to change my clothes because I pick up scents that are in the workplace. You know, in the bathrooms, everywhere we go, there's something spraying some kind of scent out there. Well, it's an amazing growth in this illness. Like I said, it's 12.5% to 15% of the population. And so what we've done is one of our campaigns of IDA, or the Invisible Disabilities Advocate, it's called the Cleaner Indoor Air Campaign, and the website is cleanerindoorair.org. It's available, if you can get to it through theinvisibledisabilities.org, but it's cleanerindoorair.org, and it's just got information on how to reach out into businesses. Maybe we know some different restaurant chains that actually have perfume and cologne-free policies for their servers, so we can go eat there. And sometimes we have to move because maybe somebody sits at a booth next to us, but it allows us to still kind of go out in public once in a while. So doctor's offices are starting to go perfume and cologne free. Mm-hmm. What's amazing to me is that May, in multiple states, is proclaimed by a lot of governors as multiple chemical sensitivity month. We just found that out fairly recently. So we're just trying to help. It's another symptom. Like I said, it can be a symptom as well as an illness in itself. We just want to help educate people in that as well, because it's turning into an epidemic, 1 in 6. And people with asthma, 80% of people with asthma, their asthma is triggered by perfumes and colognes. So we're not opposed to perfumes and colognes. The problem is that, you know, if they're not natural in a lot of cases, I mean, they're just making people sick. So we just want to bring it to people's attention that, you know, sometimes we have to make changes. So that's what the Cleaner Indoor Air is about.
And give that website again.
It's cleanerindoorair.org. So it's cleanerindoorair.org. And it is available through the invisibledisabilities.org as well. You can get to it through there.
Okay. If there were someone listening right now who has a loved one who is living with a chronic illness or in chronic pain, what would you tell him or her?
Well, you know, I kind of want to steal a little bit from our book and kind of go through a couple things. There's some things that discourages those people that are suffering chronic illness, and there's some things that encourages them. So I'll just kind of go through a little list here, and things that discourage them are, you know, when we claim they don't exist because we can't see it, or we minimize their situation. You know, oh, you know, it could be worse, or you're lucky you don't have to work. You know, how horrible is that? My wife would love to work. You know, there's a lot of people out there who lost great jobs who would love to work. We don't want to disregard their limitations. You know, if they say they can't ride in a car across town, then we shouldn't expect them to do that, to come over to our house. Maybe we need to go to their house. We don't want to claim they're not trying hard enough. You know, that's what I talked about earlier about the positive, people being positive. We don't want to tell these people they're being lazy. I mean, it's amazing that they got out of bed. Those are amazing things. Another one is we don't want to act as if we can relate. And this is a big one. When people say, you know, oh, I'm tired too. You know, when you're not chronically ill, tired, when you're tired means I went to the symphony and I took my kids here and I did this and I worked, and those are things that are tired. But when you're chronically ill, tired is not tired. Tired is bone tired, exhausted. And we don't want to say, oh, yeah, I understand. I can relate. So that's kind of a discouraging thing. We don't want to give them advice. You know, we talked about that earlier with the pamphlet. Why don't you just take something? They don't always need advice. You know, a great little story, Dr. Boyd, who wrote that book, Being Sick Well, talked about is a lady had arthritis, and every time she went to her family gatherings, everybody always talked about her illness. They always asked her about it, and that's all they ever talked about. So she showed up, and she put a paper bag in the middle of the table, and she said, I want everybody who asked me about my illness or mentions my illness, you put $5 in the bag. Well, her family being very cheap, no money ended up in the bag. And she found out about her grandkids, and she found about, you know, how her kids' jobs are going. All these things because she wanted to be as normal as possible. She didn't need advice from them. She didn't want, you know, to talk about it. You know, it was just a great time for her. Another one is don't try to tell them how they feel. You know, people come up to people with chronic illness and say, oh, you must be feeling better, or you must be having a good day. Well, how do we know if they're having a good day, right? Just
right.
Because they have a smile on? You know, if you call somebody with chronic illness, how do they answer the phone? They normally answer the phone, hi, you know, great to talk to you. They don't answer the phone, oh, I'm sick and miserable, because, right, nobody would call them.
Right.
So we can't assume by how they answer the phone that they're feeling great. If you really want to know, ask them.
Right.
You know, you don't want to point out what they still have. You know, we hear this all the time when people lose a loved one to death or something. We say, well, at least you have your other children. Oh, that makes it so much better. You know, it's the same thing with a chronic illness. Well, you know, well, at least you've got a great husband, or at least you can do this, or, you know, count your blood. No, we have to let them grieve from the fact that they lost who they were, right? They can't do it anymore, who they thought they were going to be, and they're going to grieve that the rest of their life. And we need to let them do that. And don't always expect them to be happy, right? It's
right.
Okay to be depressed once in a while if you're sick and in bed all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to expect them to be happy all the time. So what are some things that encourage them? You acknowledge their situation. You know, let them know, hey, what you've gone through is horrible. Acknowledge their losses. Let them know that, wow, I can't believe what you've had to give up. Respect them. You know, if they can't do something or can do something, respect them and believe them. Show them you're listening, you know. Ask them, hey, honestly, how are you doing? Or can I pray for you? Or can I help you out in some way? I'm going to the grocery store. Can I bring you some groceries? You know, give them a compliment. Hey, you look great. You know, your hair looks good. You know, I like how you dress. You know, the funny thing is the title of our book is But You Look Good. Well, that's because people would tell my wife, I know you're miserable, but you'll look good. And she wanted to tell them, I'd give up looking good any day. But that's different than giving them a compliment. If somebody came up to her and said, you know, your hair looks really nice today, that's a different thing.
Right.
You know, show them you're willing to help, too. You know, hey, can I bring you lunch tomorrow? Can I come over and wash your dishes for you? Little things that make a huge difference in people's lives. So that's what I would say. You know, just understand that, believe the person. That's the most important thing to me, is that you can't understand what somebody's going through unless you've gone through it yourselves, right?
Right.
I mean, you just don't understand. But you can believe what they say. If they say they can't do something, believe them. If they say they can do something, believe them. If they say, you know, this is a struggle for me, believe them. You can't tell how they're going about. You know,
right.
One of the things, great things that I like about the doctors now are starting to recognize pain. They ask their patients now, what is your pain scale? That's because the doctors used to judge what their pain scale was. Well, the doctors can't tell. The person going through the pain can. They know
right.
how bad their pain is. So that's the same thing with a chronic illness and chronic pain, is that they know their illness better than anybody else. So believe them when they say what they're going through.
I think, too, I think a lot of people don't know how to, and that's what I like about the pamphlets and the books and stuff that you provide, because I think people don't know what to say or don't know what to do, and it comes out, well, at least you have this or at least you have that.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the issues, because I kind of go through it with Zion. My son has Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people don't know how to respond. So I think I wanted to point that out, because that's one thing I really like. One of the many things I really like about the pamphlets and stuff is that you're teaching them how to respond and how to, and kind of giving them a glimpse of what the person that's going through the illness is feeling, so they can see it kind of from both sides. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is yeah, absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. All people want to know is, what can I say? Or what shouldn't I say? And I don't believe people are trying to be mean out there. I mean, there are mean people, but they aren't trying to be mean by these things that are discouraging that they say. They just don't know any better.
Right.
And it comes across to the person who's chronically ill, like, they don't believe me. You know, it hurts. They think I'm lying, those type of things. So you're right. Absolutely. That's what we're trying to do, is educate. The flip side that we found, which I wasn't expecting this from the book, is that it also helps the person who's chronically ill understand where the other people are coming from, why they're saying that.
Right.
And so it helps them also to maybe not be as frustrated with them as they're learning how to interact together.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest key, is to educate, is for both to be educated on, like what you just said, educated on what the opposite may be feeling or is feeling.
That's right.
And I really, really commend you for everything that you're doing with the organization, and as we mentioned before, about the work which you're doing, that you were inspired by your wife. That really touched me. It did. That, you know, some people may have ran. You know, to be honest, you know, a lot of people might have put the MS in front of seeing her as a person, and it says a lot to me about you and her that you saw her first.
Well, I fail a lot, and I have to reread the book once in a while too myself. So don't think that I'm innocent in this, and I'm some wonderful hero in all this. No. Because there's a lot of times that I push her way beyond I should push her, and I fail at this too. So, so it's always a reminder for me as well.
I wanted to give your website address.
The website is invisibledisabilities.org, or you can get there by a really easy short one. It's called myida.org, myida.org. They both go to the same place. Some people can't write invisible disabilities, but they can remember it. But MyIDA, MYIDA.org, also goes to the same website, makes it easier for you.
Well, we're just about out of time, and I really thank you for, and it was a pleasure having you on the show today.
Oh, thank you.
I want people, you know, to visit your website at invisibledisabilities.org and read the story and read the information and the pamphlets and all that stuff. But again, thank you for
thank you.
And I wanted to thank the listeners for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show on HYH Radio. And I'm your host, Yvonne Pierre. Be blessed and a blessing to others. Visit www.hyhradio.com. Thank you.
Over lakes and valleys, I was meant to fly.
Believe in myself.